Rat Pack, where you at?
Hey, what's up? Hey, it's Friday, August 16th. I'm Jeff. This is The Rant.
I wish I knew how to put you.
Yeah, I do too. I wish I knew. Hey, we're going to talk keeper strategy today. A lot of people, a topic very near and dear to them, apparently, if my Twitter is telling me correctly. How do we make keeper decisions? How can we make this easier on ourselves? I also want to quickly run through tight end strategy. That'll complete all the draft strategy talk for us essentially here. If you're interested in team defense stuff, I did just put an article up over at ftnfantasy.com yesterday and highlights one of the major mistakes that people make. You don't need the top defense. In fact, this year, I don't want the top defense because it's the Baltimore Ravens and they face the Chiefs in week one. So go through that. I give you some defenses to target if you have a league that has team defense, and calm down, IDP people. We know what you're going to say, but a lot of leagues have team defense. So if you need help on that strategy, just go check that out. It's pretty straightforward stuff, and I give you defenses to target. So you got that. Before I dive into anything else today, though, I may have gotten myself in trouble today on the radio. Not with SiriusXM, but actually with my CEO at FTN. So our promo was supposed to stop at midnight last night, which it did actually. And I woke up this morning and there was a whole bunch of emails and Twitter messages, DMs on Instagram, whatever. And they're like, yeah, I missed the deadline on the 15% off at ftnfantasy.com. And, you know, if it was like one or two people, I would have just been like, tough, you know what? Like, I whatever, sorry, can't help you. It was not just two people. It was a lot. I was actually really surprised. I didn't count, but there was a lot of scrolling going on my part this morning. So on air, I had an intrusive thought. What if I have access to the back end of our system? So like, what if I just turn it back on? And so I did. So guess what? My CEO is not happy with me, but hey, what's done is done. I'd rather ask for forgiveness than permission. So it is on until tomorrow night. So if you have a draft tomorrow morning, I'm going to update cheat sheets at ftnfantasy.com. But if you have a draft tomorrow, we got you covered. ftnfantasy.com, FTN15 is the promo code. All right, I want to talk keepers though. You might be in a keeper league or more than one keeper league. And I have found that in making keeper decisions, there are some common mistakes that people make. And so let's talk about them and how to avoid making those mistakes. In a lot of keeper leagues, there's the guy who's always playing for next year. We know that guy. You might be that guy or gal. You might be that person. If you're worried about next year, you're never going to win this year. If your keeper decisions are based on who you can keep in 2026 or whatever, you're not going to win this year. It's all about playing for this year because a keeper league is really just a redraft league. And keepers are really just draft picks that you make before the draft starts. And for that reason, too, by the way, keeper leagues do not change my strategy. Remember, keepers are just draft picks that you make before the draft starts. So the strategy doesn't change. You don't move rounds around or anything like that if you're trying to draft the way that I draft. Now, you do you. I always say that. You do you. Do whatever you think is best. But it does not change my strategy just because it's a keeper league. I keep the same exact strategy. Now, if you're playing for next year, you're not going to win this year. Just plain and simple. You're always focused on next year. You're probably a better candidate for a dynasty league. And remember, dynasty leagues are not keeper leagues. A keeper league is a redraft league where you get to keep one, two, three, whatever amount of players from your previous roster. But there's no continuity from the last roster. It's a new build each year. In a dynasty league, you do a startup draft, and then that's your roster. And if you want to move on from players, you either trade them or cut them. It's not you get to keep players from last year. Totally different idea. And then you'll have an annual rookie draft. Whereas in a keeper league, you're basically doing a redraft. Yes, some of the picks are made before the draft starts, but it is a redraft format. So treat it like a redraft league. In a redraft league, we don't care about age. I don't, at least. I don't know if you do. But like Tyreek Hill, he's 30 years old. In Dynasty, I want to trade that dude away. In a keeper league, I don't mind keeping the Tyreek Hill if I get him at the right value, and I'll talk about values in a minute. Actually, let's talk about it now. If there's no penalties, let's say there's no round value, and I'll discuss the round value thing in a minute here, but just say there's no penalties. keep your best players. Like, this one is so obvious. And you guys, sometimes I'll see people who make the decision so much more difficult than it needs to be. If you have Tyreek Hill, he's the number three person on my board. You might have him in a different spot, but I bet you don't have him much lower than that. If you have him any lower, then it's a spot or two, right? He's really high up. He's an elite level player. If you have to decide between him and somebody else, it's Tyreek. Unless that somebody else is like CeeDee Lamb or whatever. You know, it's a good problem to have. I would go CeeDee Lamb then because I have CeeDee Lamb ranked higher. I would go Christian McCaffrey because I have Christian McCaffrey higher. Those are the only two players I have ranked ahead of Tyreek Hill. So that's all you do. Don't worry about age. Don't worry about next year. Keep the highest ranked guys. You know, keep it simple, right? Very, very simple. Now, if you have round penalties involved, and these can work in a variety of ways. Like if you're not familiar with the format, pretty simple. Say you drafted a guy in the 12th round last year. Some leagues will say, okay, well, that's his keeper value forever. Some leagues will have an escalation. That means that if it's a one-round escalation, if you drafted him in the 12th last year, he'd be 11th this year. Or if it's a three-round escalation, you drafted him in the 12th last year, he's in the ninth round now. Those work so that essentially you can't just keep a player forever. You know, eventually there'll be a point where you're put to a decision where you might have to toss the player back if their keeper value isn't good. And I don't mind that. You know, it's whatever your league wants to do, ultimately. Before I talk about making the decision, I did want to toss this out there because I'll get asked this question all the time. What if a player was picked up off of waivers? What is his keeper value? And again, it's based on what your league determines. However, the common practice is if that player was drafted, dropped, and then picked up, his round value stays the same. So if a player was drafted in the 12th round, he was dropped, you picked him up, you're going to keep him, his value is 12th round. If that player was undrafted, say somebody like Kyren Williams, maybe he didn't get drafted last year, well, that player's value is the last round. You know, you can still keep them. They're a last round value. You get them at the very end of the draft. So that rewards people who made a good waiver move, right? It's a good thing to have. Now, one thing that I will see, though, and I want to just clear that out, you know, that's how I do things. Doesn't mean that's how you should do things. Like, obviously, your league would determine it, but that's how I do it. But anyway, one thing that I will see with people is a lot of times they will err towards the side of the latest possible round they can, regardless of the skill level of the guy. Like, the guy isn't a complete slappy. He's obviously at least moderately keepable, but that's a mistake as well. You know, really all we're trying to do is get value in anything we do in fantasy, really, but especially in fantasy drafts. And again, think about it from that vantage point. It's a draft pick you make before the draft starts. So let's say, I don't know, maybe from a couple years ago, maybe you had Tyreek in like the third, and that's your keeper value on him. Well, let's pretend just for a moment that this is a redraft and you're up in the third round and Tyreek Hill is there. What do you do? Right? Like me, you probably stumble your way up to the board, shaking, and put the pick up on the board, right? You're going to automatically take him there. So if you have Tyreek Hill there, and I don't even care who the player is. Here's one that some people have. Dalton Kincaid in the 11th. Tyreek Hill in the third, Dalton Kincaid. Like, this one is so, like, there's not even a decision here. It's Tyreek Hill in the third, automatic, every time. Now, I realize that some of them aren't as easy as that. And that wouldn't, like, Dalton Kincaid wouldn't even cross my mind in that instance there. I don't care about the 10th round. As you go down through the rounds too, the value flattens out. So the difference between a 10th round value and an 11th round value is almost non-existent. Like, they're basically the same thing. So if you have two guys who are in a very similar range, just choose the highest ranked guy. But I realize they're not all this simple. And so what I put together over at ftnfantasy.com is called the keeper value chart. How you find it, because people have been saying, well, I can't find it right now. It's in my keeper strategy article, and that is listed in the draft kit landing page. So there's like, if you go to the menu, you see draft kit, that's where you go. And then you'll be able to find it. It's easy. I know we have a lot on the site. It's a good problem to have, but sometimes it's a little tough to find things. So I always, you know, do my best to help you out in finding these things on the site. So the keeper value chart is a really easy way of calculating the value of each player that you're keeping. And then you can compare those numbers. So say like you establish the keeper value of one guy at 500 points and then the other guy's at 300 points. Well, there's a 200 point difference there, and that's fairly significant. So it's likely you would keep the guy who came in at 500 points. If you came in and you saw 500 points and another guy's like negative 15, well, obviously the 500 points is very obvious there. If they're close, let's say one guy's 500, another guy's 450. If it's close enough, I will still then, I could go with the guy who's 450 if he's higher ranked. So that's, and I break this all down in the article to tell you how to use the chart. It's super easy, takes some of the thought process out of things for you, and it can be really helpful in that regard. Not everybody uses it. Not everybody needs to use it, but it is a way that I've found a lot of people like to make their keeper decisions. So again, over at ftnfantasy.com. All right, so with that out of the way, we do have one more draft strategy topic to get to. We're going to talk tight ends. We'll do that right after this. All right, and we're back. So in the previous podcast here, if you're just picking up today and you want to know quarterback strategy, I did that in the previous episode. And a few episodes back, I talked about how I attack the early rounds. And that really, the early rounds determines my running back / wide receiver strategy because they're the same thing. Like they're directly correlated to each other. So these three separate areas form all of my strategies together. And it is important to have multiple strategies in play because you never know where your draft's going to go. You may think you know, but you know as well as I do, if you've done plenty of drafts in the past, every draft is different and it's going to be hard to predict exactly what plays out in each one of the drafts. So that's why I like to have multiple strategies up my sleeve. Now, there's really kind of three main approaches at tight end. The first approach is a robust approach. Anytime I say robust, I'm really talking about an early round, like robust running backs when you load up on running backs early. Robust quarterback is when you grab one of the elite quarterbacks. Robust tight end is when you grab one of the elites. Most years it's three. This year, really, I only have two guys in the elite tier, Laporta and Kelce. Fortunately, they're not first round guys. You may see the first of these guys mid to late second round, and then the other guy's going to come off the board shortly thereafter. It might be Kelce in some leagues. It might be Laporta. I can't really say. It's not definitive, though. It definitely isn't. Some people really like the upside of the younger player in Laporta. Some people like knowing what they're going to get with Kelce, that it's still going to be elite production. I have no worries about him this year, by the way. He still had an awesome year last year. But the problem is they go, like I said, mid to late second, early third. For me, that's not a range where I want to be looking at tight end. So I will pass on these guys. Like they'd have to fall legit over a full round. Like Kelce'd have to be sitting there in like the middle of the fourth for me to give him a look. And yeah, I probably would there, but he's not getting there. You know, people go a little tight end crazy in home league drafts, especially. So instead, what I've done over the years is I tend to like to get that next group. Now I call this the wheelhouse group. This group is, you know, it depends on the range. This year it's 3 through 7 in my rankings is my tight end wheelhouse, but every year it's going to be a little bit different. But the reason why I like this group is pretty simple. Annually, we will see players from this group make the leap. It's usually only one, maybe might be two players, but usually only one or so will make that leap into elite territory. But this is the group that gives us the best chance of getting into elite territory, and we don't have to spend a second or third round pick on. You know, really, when I start to look to a wheelhouse tight end is in round five. That doesn't mean I have to draft him in round five, but that's where I start to look. So let me give you the five names right now: McBride, Andrews, Kincaid, Kittle, and Pitts. Those are my five. If you disagree with the order, cool. Put them in the order you want. If you disagree that Evan Ingram isn't included, cool. Put Evan Ingram in your group. He isn't in my group. I just don't like the ceiling of Evan Ingram. It's not particularly high from a touchdown standpoint. Like, and I really find it hard to believe that he's going to replicate last year's volume. Like that was a career year. It was an epic year. It was also the second most receptions by a tight end in NFL history. Like, it's hard to repeat a historically good season. So I have him just on the outside there, and that's my five. Again, you could have your five or your six, however order you want, but if you wanted to take this approach, I think you have to define them before the fact, because the tight end wheelhouse is not really a period of the draft. It is a type of tight end for me. It's that range where, again, I'm getting the most bang for my buck with a guy who could potentially be an elite option. So here's what I do. I get up to round five. Round five is the first point where I'm willing to look at the position. Now, it's not as if I'm not paying attention to tight end, but I'm going to look. I'm going to say, all right, who's on the board? Let's say I look down and McBride is gone, right? Maybe it's, let's say it's like late fifth round. McBride's gone, but everybody else is there. Andrews, Kincaid, Kittle, Pitts, which I have seen this happen. All right, I'll wait. Now in round six, I laugh here because there's a world where all four of those guys go before it comes back to me. I realize that. And that's going to be part of the process here. And you have to make these determinations each time. Like if you're somebody you don't want to deal with that, then just draft one of them in round five. That's not how I roll typically. I'm willing to wait if there are four of the five left. So if it comes back to me and it's Kittle or Pitts, all right, so be it. If it comes back to me and they're all there, I don't know. If I'm late round five, then I'm early round six, then I'd be late round seven. So I still probably would take one in this range. If all five of them are there for some reason, then yeah, I'll still wait. And I'll play the game of chicken. But usually it's usually around that range, round six. Because seven is where I shift gears back to running back. So five or six, I'll include seven into this range because it can happen. Then I take one of those guys, right? And now I'm happy. And it doesn't matter which one. I have them in order of my preference, but it doesn't matter which one. One thing I will note, if I've already drafted Deebo Samuel and I have the choice between Kittle or Pitts, I'm choosing Pitts. If I drafted Drake London, but not Deebo Samuel, and I have my choice between Kittle and Pitts, I'm drafting Kittle. All right. Like who I have is also going to determine because I don't want to overload on any teams in redraft. In best ball, oh, hell yeah, I do, but not in redraft. So that's going to be the determining factor there. Now, there is a world where I don't get one of those guys. I don't get a wheelhouse. I'd love to sit here and tell you every time I get a wheelhouse. I don't. Most of the time I do, but there are times where I don't. If that is the case, I will now wait till the late rounds and I will go with a late round tight end approach. Late round tight end approach for me is different than quarterback. I don't want anything safe. No safe, please. I don't want Dalton Schultz. I don't want those types of guys. I want ceiling. I want bang for my buck. I want high, high, high ceiling. And, you know, ideally, like somebody like Njoku would fall, but he's not going to. Like, let's be honest there. So I'm going to get a high ceiling guy, maybe two, depends on how many bench spots. If I only have six bench spots, I'm not getting two tight ends. So like the number one guy for me, if I miss, is Brock Bowers, right? Definitely Brock Bowers. Maybe Freiermuth and Kmet. I don't love their ceilings, but they're all right. Taysom Hill, Luke Musgrave, those guys offer some big ceilings. Like guys who I would be avoiding, Hunter Henry, Tyler Conklin. I'm avoiding Chigakonkwo just because there's too much volatility, and I'm definitely avoiding TJ Hockenson. I know you could get cute here, but you know, especially after the JJ McCarthy injury, I'm just not willing to wait for Hockenson to come back only to have Sam Darnold or potentially even by that point, maybe Nick Mullins or somebody like that, Jaren Hall as his quarterback. I just don't love it. So that's how I would approach it. I'm not going to panic. You know, panicking is only going to lead to bad decisions on draft day. I'm just going to play it as it is. If I miss out on wheelhouse, so be it. I will just wait till at least we get into like the 10th round. And that's where I have Brock Bowers. I have him as a 10th round grade. So that like, 8-9 range is kind of a dead zone period. I just don't want to be drafting tight ends there because, as I said, that's really my running back range. So that's how I handle tight end. There you go. There's the strategies all put together. Now we can go dominate those drafts this weekend, next weekend, and the following weekend. By the way, all of this is broken down in the roadmap, which is the article that you'll find in my draft guide, The Game Plan. And the roadmap basically breaks down all of my strategies. And the cool thing about it, the players are kind of secondary. The strategy matters more than the players because if we set up our draft boards correctly, we're going to get the right players in the right spots. It's more about executing the strategy, and I break that all down for you. Okay, let me get over to emails. Again, no voicemails today. If you do want to call in, the phone number is 215-720-1708. I think that's going to actually be pretty fun during the season because I could imagine a bunch of people calling into that thing during the games on Sunday and just leaving all kinds of messages. But if you want to call in, that's where you do it. The email, if you want to email in, is therantpodjr@gmail.com. Joel checking in, he's got a Superflex Dynasty conundrum. He said he read my five Dynasty Tips article and used the strategies in that article in his startup draft. Cool, nice stuff. Ah, but he has a problem. He drafted J.J. McCarthy as one of his potential starting quarterbacks. So he has Trevor Lawrence, J.J. McCarthy, and Michael Penix. Yeah, that's the risky one, the Michael Penix one, because you didn't get a third starter. He said, would I look at Sam Howell, Aiden O'Connell, Spencer Rattler, etc.? Because he looks like, yeah, obviously he's not going to have McCarthy at all this year. And Penix looks like a long shot to start unless something happens to Kirk Cousins. I mean, the dice roll is Aiden O'Connell because there's not really a pathway for Sam Howell right now. Geno Smith is the clear starter. Spencer Rattler may not even be the backup to Derek Carr. That could still be Jake Haener. So it would be Aiden O'Connell, and I don't love that. That is rough right there, no doubt about it. But, you know, this is going to happen. We're all going to get faced with these sort of injury dilemmas through the course of the season. Unfortunately, some of us, it happens sooner rather than later. All right, let me go over to Jacob's question. Handcuff strategy is the email subject. He said he is totally on board with keeping handcuffs once he drafts them. Yeah, so the commit to the cuff idea that I talked about the other day. So what about when they get hurt, like Trey Sermon? Do you keep the cuff through the injury? He said these jobs can be flimsy. Well, actually, that's not necessarily the case. Most NFL coaches operate by this idea that you don't lose your job due to injury. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you can't lose your job if you're hurt. Let's be clear on that as well, because the next guy up could come in and just absolutely blow you out of the water. I think of like Tyrod Taylor when he was hurt, and then Justin Herbert came in and was like, sorry, Tyrod. It's Herbert's job now. But with a backup running back, I really find it hard to believe, like in this case, Trey Sermon, like Evan Hull is going to blow their socks off. No. It's the severity of the injury. Like if it's an injury that's going to last half the season, something like that, then yeah, you probably should grab Evan Hull because he would be the cuff while Trey Sermon's down. If it's an injury for a week or two, you're just keeping Trey Sermon or whoever, you know, whoever that is. How do I decide when to move on from the backup? When it's abundantly clear that the backup is no longer the backup. That's really all it comes down to. So hopefully that helps you there, Jacob. Bradley, 6-point passing touchdown Superflex League. All right, I'm going to do the thing. So I don't actually read these emails before the fact. Just going to pull the curtain back. The reason why I don't do that is I really want to share an organic reaction with you, the listener. Like, I can't do this in the same way as radio, and I love that aspect of radio that it's just really organic and in the moment. I don't like write the show out and all that and just stick to the script. No, it's organic. It's free-flowing. And so how can we do some of that on podcast? Well, this is one of the ways that I've found. So I have not read it. Here's my prediction. He is going to ask me if my strategy in Superflex changes in a 6-point passing touchdown. All right. Now I'm going to look back to the screen. I swear to you, I did not look at the screen. Okay. Hey, Jeff, does waiting on a quarterback until the top 12 are off the board make even more sense? Ooh, he button hooked me. I didn't know he's going to button hook me. Make even more sense in a 6-point passing touchdown league. For example, Jared Goff finished quarterback 8 in this league last year, was not drafted anywhere near there. Also, it's a 10-team league. Are you still waiting until the top 12 go, or does that change to 10? Oh, well, here's where your answer is going to be different. But let me do the first one. So it doesn't make any more or less sense because the value is still going to be there. That's the whole idea of waiting until at least 12 are off the board, because you're going to hit a spot where there's really good value at quarterback. Again, the name of the game is value. So it's no more or no less. The thing that some people will not do is they will not adjust their rankings at the position to favor quarterbacks who could throw more touchdowns, as opposed to the Konami code quarterbacks, who obviously do quite well in a 4-point passing touchdown league, because you only need 40 rushing yards to equal the same amount of fantasy points as a passing touchdown. Whereas 6-point, now you need 60 rushing yards and the gap starts to close. So I think that's probably what happens here. It is not a dramatic thing. And we do have a custom ranking tool at ftnfantasy.com. If you are in a 6-point passing touchdown league, it doesn't change your overall rankings. It just would change your position rankings, and only slightly. Now, in a 10-team league, are you still waiting until the top 12 are gone, or does it change to the top 10? No, it changes to the top 14. It's less of a priority to get a quarterback the fewer teams you have. In a 10-team league, my formula in really anything with quarterbacks is take the amount of starters and add to that half of that number, and then you get the expected number of quarterbacks to be rostered in your league. So here, you'll have 20 starting quarterbacks, because we're assuming everybody starts a quarterback in their super flex, plus half of that number is 30. That means there will still be even two potential starters available on waivers at any given time. Not as much of a priority. So it goes the other direction from what a lot of people think. It's less of a priority there. I'm willing to wait even longer in a 10-team league than I am in a 12-team league. All right, on to the next one. Christopher. He's got a pod question. He says, sup, man. Sup, Christopher. He said, was curious how much investing into a single team plays into my strategy, or if targeting players later in the draft impacts your early rounds. He said, let's say he's convinced that Jalen Waddle is going to blow up this year. Would I turn off Hill in the first? Would it make more sense to draft somebody like Justin Jefferson, Bijan, or CeeDee Lamb instead? Well, so this is a problem, because if you think that Jalen Waddle is going to blow up, then you should be ranking him a lot higher, and it wouldn't turn off Tyreek Hill. I don't plan for later in a draft. I may have done that in the past, but it is a big mistake, because you don't know what later is. Let's say that you think that and Jalen Waddle goes the pick before you. So now you sacrifice Tyreek Hill because of your perception of Jalen Waddle. Like, if you truly think he's going to blow up, then you should be ranking him significantly higher than I am. And then that will dictate, that will make your draft. And I know that some people in the industry are like this. I talk to my friends in the industry, and I know that their boards are very different than mine, because they think differently about players. So later in drafts will not impact what I do earlier, because I don't know what's going to happen later, if that makes sense, Christopher. But maybe move Jalen Waddle way up your board. Keith says, lesson learned from 2023. He said he listens to the episodes to and from work. It helps on his commute. Appreciate that. I'm glad I can help you out there. He said, what's one lesson I learned from 2023 drafts that I'm applying in 2024? Man, I don't know how many lessons I learned last year. I will tell you that 2 years ago, I learned from an evaluation standpoint that I'm no longer going to not pay attention to how many games a quarterback starts in college, thanks to Brock Purdy. Like, that's why I probably was a little higher on Bo Nix than others, because 61 starts is a lot of reps, man. But fantasy draft wise, I don't think there was any major lessons. My main goal in fantasy drafts is to execute the strategy, to be disciplined and diligent about executing the strategy. And well, here's something for you as part of that. And I've talked about this a bunch in various places, whether on the radio show or here on the podcast. You know that I like myself an IPA. You know that I like myself a bourbon and, you know, adult beverages. I'm down with that. I'm cool with that. You know, it's not everybody's thing. Yeah, it's my thing. I like it. But during fantasy drafts, I do not like it. I don't want to drink. So I'll drink like non-alcoholic beers or whatever during fantasy drafts. And the reason why is, you know, in the past, I was like a lot of people. I would have my beers with me, and by the middle to later parts of the draft, I would be, feeling it. I'm not driving, don't worry, but I'd be feeling it. And that was not good, because I'd be making mistakes. So I realized that. And the last couple years, and last year, I was really strict about it. I went to non-alcoholics, and I have one of the best years of drafting that I've ever had. And no, I didn't even win leagues, but I executed strategy. Like, my two home leagues, I didn't win either one of them, but I executed my strategies so effectively, and I was so very happy with the results that, and I think that was really largely assisted by, you know, staying sharp in the middle and late parts of the draft. So that's probably the big one there, Keith. All right, last one, and Andy is checking in. He said, Richardson QB. He goes to say, I have to keep one rookie from 2023, and I'll have him for the next five seasons in his 14-team league. His is Anthony Richardson. He said, I've been planning on pairing him with a safe quarterback later in the draft. I don't think I would do that, but let me read the rest of his stuff here. He said, I just listened to the quarterback podcast and he wasn't listed as a guy to protect with a second quarterback. That is true. Is that because the unusually high cost you need to get him on your roster? No, it is not. So he is a top 12 option. And for some people I've been seeing recently, he's a top 5 option. Not for me, but still top, let's call him top 10. If I'm drafting one of those guys, or keeping one of those guys in this case, then I don't need another quarterback. It would just be a waste of a roster spot. I am putting my chips on this guy, planting my flag. This is not a safe and upside situation because safe and upside is a late round strategy. So I have Anthony Richardson. I'm good to go. And in this league, I don't mind that. You know, 14 teams, so you have more teams. That increases the value of onesie positions slightly. It's probably more impactful on tight end than it is on quarterback. So tight end, yeah, I would really want to make sure I get a wheelhouse guy. Like I did in my 14-teamer last weekend, I got Kyle Pitts. So he's not a safe and upside option. Like he's not an upside part of that equation because he's not somebody you're drafting in the late rounds. Like he's borderline premium. So no, he'd be the only quarterback I'd be rostering there. And then I'll bring in a quarterback on his bye week and, you know, we'll hope he just stays healthy and man, his productivity could be absolutely through the roof. All right, so that wraps it up there. The rantpodjr@gmail.com is the email address, so keep hitting me up. And next week, I think it's going to be a little bit more normal. I don't travel or anything like that next week, so we'll just have like a regular week of shows as we build towards the biggest fantasy draft day of the entire year. That's next Saturday. Tomorrow, though, tomorrow morning, bright and early, I'll be updating the cheat sheets at ftnfantasy.com. FTN15 until tomorrow night gets you 15% off. Get in before that goes away. I will not be able to bring this back again. So take advantage of it. FJFantasy.com, promo code RATCLIFF if you need a draft board. I've been told like only a couple days. So if you have a draft next weekend, you still haven't gotten your board, you could still get it in time if you order it like today, tomorrow, something like that. They'll get it out to you quick. They do a great job over there. And those boards are just awesome. Follow along with me on Twitter, @JeffRatcliffe, on Instagram, @JeffRatcliffe. If you have drafts this weekend, crush them. I know you're going to dominate those suckers in your league. Just stick to the plan and destroy your draft. Oh, by the way, keep reviewing the podcast on Apple Podcasts, all right? If you haven't put a review up, I'd greatly appreciate it if you did. It helps the podcast out. I want to keep doing this thing for as long as possible. All right, I'll catch you on the flip side of the weekend on Monday for another pod. Until then, I'm Jeff, and I'm out.